Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Know your rules of thumb. Like for us, you know, payroll, we figure that's $1,000 a unit, and repairs and maintenance around $400 a unit.
Best ever listeners, before we get into today's episode and the interview with our best ever guest, I want to mention Fund That Flip, because Fund That Flip is an online lender that gives you fast, convenient access to really affordable money that you need for your flip project. So if you're doing residential flips, then the main thing I imagine that you're focused on, or the main two things, are the deal and the money. So if you've got the deal pipeline, but you need access to cash and you want to build a reputation within a group that will continue to invest their dollars into your deals, then go to fundthatflip.com/best ever. The founder of Fund That Flip is Matt Rodak, and he's actually one of my very first guests on the show. It's episode number 7. So if you have a chance, go check that out too. Familiarize yourself with Matt and what he's all about. But when you're needing money and you want an online lender that provides fast, convenient access to affordable capital for your flipping projects, then Fund That Flip's the way to go. Their team has over 200 deals under their belt, and you can actually, this is crazy, you can actually be approved immediately within 30 seconds once you put in your information. So go to fundthatflip.com/best ever and get some money for your flipping projects. Best ever listeners, how you doing? Welcome to the best real estate investing advice ever show. I'm Joe Fairless, and we got a really inspiring story today. A 20-year-old who has already participated in a syndicated deal on the general partner side, the GP side. So someone who helped put the deal together. And we've got a lot to learn from that, right? I know I do. It's really interesting to hear someone who's done that. So with us, I'll stop talking about you like you're not here. With us, we got Nick West. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, Joe. I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Hey, doing well. Doing very well. Excited to talk to you. Nick is currently a junior at CSU Channel Islands. He's getting a business degree when he's not syndicating deals. He's a 20-year-old, like I mentioned, based in Camarillo, California. Yep. Awesome. Participated in a syndicated deal, like I mentioned, and
After he graduates, he wants to run a REIT or a private equity group. So with that, Nick, will you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into the deal?
Well, my family's in real estate. We have a couple of rentals, so that's kind of what started the whole idea of me getting into real estate. And I got into this deal by simply going into REIA meetings, like Real Estate Investment Club meetings, where I met Jeff. And that's what started the relationship where I would learn to underwrite deals. And that's eventually how I was able to close on a deal, because of that relationship.
Awesome. So you attended a real estate meetup, real estate investing meetup in your area. You met an investor, Jeff Greenberg, right?
Correct.
Yep. And he's been on the show, and you mentioned, do you remember the name, the number of that show? Which show that was?
I believe it was 47.
Yeah. I'll look that up before the end of the episode. So Jeff has been on the show before, and you're right. It is episode 47 called Follow the Well-Worn Path to Success. So go check out Jeff and what he's up to with syndication. So you met Jeff at the meetup, and you started learning how to underwrite the deals. Then once you started learning it, what happened?
Once I started learning it, he would send deals my way, and I would underwrite them. If they were any good, we would talk further and submit offers on them. And before you know it, we had one under contract.
So did you find this deal, or did he?
I did.
You did. Okay, so you found the deal. Where'd you find it?
On LoopNet.
LoopNet. All right. Well, with LoopNet, typically there's some aspect of the deal, at least from my experience, there's some aspect of the deal that needs a workaround. So was that the case with this?
It was, actually. This property is a portfolio of single-family houses and duplexes and triplexes. So it's a portfolio, and a lot of commercial lenders do not like to lend on a portfolio of single-family houses simply because it's not just a conventional apartment building, and then you don't have residential people loaning on it, so it is hard to find financing for it.
Okay, so how you recognize that, okay, the numbers make sense, and what was the purchase price?
2.3.
All right, so the numbers make sense at $2.3 million. How do you go about, or how did you go about the next steps as far as coming, overcoming that challenge of the financing part?
Well, we had to go through quite a few lenders, and we even had one bank back out on us simply because they got cold feet on the deal. But you just got to be persistent, and you'll eventually find a lender that will lend on this. The lender we happened to work with was actually a private bank, so they were able to relax some of the requirements that a conventional bank might have.
A private bank versus conventional bank. So private bank meaning a credit union or a community bank?
I think it's an investor-run bank.
Ah, okay. Got it. So, and what bank was that?
First Bank, I think. I didn't take care of the finance.
Yeah. All right. So you found the private bank. They were able to do the lending. What was your role in the process? So you found the deal. You initially did the underwriting. Then what was your responsibility? Was that basically it, or did you do more after that?
I did a lot of the due diligence. So I pulled my weight there. But
specifically what?
I did insurance. I put together the offering memorandum. Looked at rent rolls, leases, and a bunch of other things.
Wow. All right. You put together the offering memorandum. That's the whole kit and caboodle right there whenever you're sharing it with investors. How did you have something to model after?
Jeff, he did a syndication about a year ago on a Houston property. So a lot of it we could just copy and paste the same, like the general format of it on.
Right. And then you plugged in the property specific information.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you found it. You did the underwriting. You did a lot of the due diligence. And was there anything else?
That's about it.
All right. So what was your compensation for that?
Well, I got a significant chunk of the equity and cash flow, and also part of the acquisition fee on the sponsor side.
And how much was the acquisition fee and the equity?
The acquisition fee, $10,000 for my first deal, which is a lot of money to me. And
that's a lot of books that it pays for.
Yes, it does. And one-fifth of the equity and cash flow on the sponsor side.
What made you go from, because now I want to, now we talked kind of the mechanics of it. Now I want to talk a little bit about the psychology of it. What made you go from attending a meeting at a real estate investing club to doing multifamily? Were you seeking out multifamily at the time?
I actually started, I wanted to do wholesaling, but that didn't really work out.
Why not?
Simply because I didn't really want to spend a lot of money putting out all the mailers and flyers and everything. And what I prefer about this is you get on a broker's email list and they'll send you stuff and you build a relationship with them. Then they start sending you off-market stuff. And it's at my convenience when I underwrite it and stuff with regarding my busy schedule as a college student. So it just sits in my email box until I'm ready to open it.
Uh-huh. When you're learning multifamily and under the underwriting process, what were some challenging things that you had to overcome?
You have to learn not to rely on the pro forma. The broker's pie in the sky numbers that will never happen in a million years. Make sure you use the T12. I've made that mistake quite a few times. And know your rules of thumb. Like for us, you know, payroll, we figure that's $1,000 a unit, and repairs and maintenance around $400 a unit. And each property is going to be slightly different. So you got to be flexible enough yet stick to your rules when underwriting a deal.
Payroll is $1,000 a unit. So is that on an annual basis?
Yes.
That you're so if you have 10 units, then it's $10,000 payroll?
Yes, but we normally look at like 50 plus unit properties because the economies of scale of commercial real estate, like if you own a 10 unit building, you're not going to have a full-time person. You're going to have a part-time person. But once you get to that 50 plus units, that's normally when you start to have a full-time person and you can start to gain some economies of scale there regarding the units.
And then quick note, just for the best ever listeners, when Nick said T12, T stands for trailing. So trailing 12 months worth of income and expenses so that you can start seeing the pattern. And with any property, with any multifamily property that you evaluate, ideally you have the last 2 years plus the year to date. And that will give you the not only the trailing 12, but then also previous year's income statements.
Yeah, you want to look at the general trend of where the numbers are going up, down, stay the same, or what.
When you looked at those numbers initially with this portfolio, how many units was it again?
It's 28.
28 units. When you looked at it initially and you looked at the numbers, what were some of the things that stood out to you from an underwriting standpoint?
Well, back to economies of scale, this property is small enough that you don't need a full-time maintenance person to do it. So we didn't have any payroll, but we factored that the expenses for like contract services and repairs and maintenance would be higher to compensate for that.
Okay. And what area was it in? What market?
Oxford, Ohio.
Oxford, Ohio. What is that? Home of the Red Hawks? Is that right?
I believe so. I don't pay attention to sports at all.
Ah, okay. Yeah, you're too busy doing syndicated deals. It's definitely Miami University. I think they're the Red Hawks. One of the, I'm sure, best ever listeners will let me know if that's not correct. So you were not, you're obviously in California. You're underwriting this opportunity in Oxford, Ohio. How are you able to know what the, you know, the taxes on it should be and some of the local variables? And did you have a local partner in place that you're able to bounce the numbers off of?
Regarding the taxes, you can always go onto the city website and look up the taxes, or you can try and get a copy of the taxes from the seller, and you could see what the taxes are there. And regarding the market, we did not have anybody on the ground. So what I did is I called three or four like residential brokers and asked, what do you think of the area? Is it nice? And they all said, oh, this is a great town, you know, nice college town, B class or B plus in a lot of the areas.
Did you tell them that you were looking at these properties?
Not really, because you kind of want to keep it on the down low that you're thinking about acquiring a property.
And then how are you managing it?
We have a management company that specializes in student housing in Oxford.
Okay. What's the name of the management company? Do you know?
Red Brick.
Red Brick?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's confirmed that they are the Red Hawks, so perhaps that's a playoff of, I don't know, there's a lot of red happening in Oxford, Ohio, apparently. With a management company, were they found through Google? Were they found through referrals? How'd you find them? Do you know?
The current seller was actually using them, and they were doing a good job, so we just decided to keep them on.
Got it. Okay, cool. Good stuff. Well, Nick, what's your best real estate investing advice ever?
You need to work on your relationships. I mean, if I did not have a relationship with a syndicator, I would not have been able to close on this deal. I would not have learned how to underwrite properties and be able to close on them. So make sure you go to your real estate investment clubs, go on Bigger Pockets, start networking, and find somebody that does what you want to do.
When you met Jeff, did he have a program that you paid for, or was it he took you under his wing and taught you the ropes, or was it some sort of value exchange of, hey, I'll find the property and then I'll get in the deal? How did that work?
Jeff took me under his wing. He taught me how to underwrite it. And the value that I brought to the table was he sent me a deal. I underwrote it for him. So I saved him time and freed him up to do other things. So I was bringing value to the table. You see a lot of people say, oh, mentor me. But it's like, you got to be of value to the person that is taking their time to teach you to do something. So if you want to be mentored, make sure you're bringing something of value to the table, whether it's freeing up their time and a whole bunch of other things.
When you were underwriting the deals, how many of them were qualifying? And then what was, when you initially qualified them, were there any that got disqualified by him?
In the early stages, yes, but I know how he thinks right now at this point. Since I've been working with them a lot, I know what he's going to ask. So I can normally, at this point, know if it's a good or bad deal and if he's going to like it or not.
And how long was that early stage?
3 to 4 months before you really start to catch on.
3 to 4 months of underwriting deals and sending them to him? And then are you actively seeking... Are you getting opportunities through any other ways than brokers?
Not really. That keeps me busy enough. Normally we can find something good, but it's really good if you can build a relationship with a broker and get some of the off-market stuff. Or if the broker is saying, oh, I'm having a property come out in a few weeks, try and get that information early. It'll give you a leg up over the other guy.
All right, you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yes, I am.
Okay, first a quick word from our best ever partners.
If you need money for your flipping project, then go to fundthatflip.com/best ever. You'll know within 30 seconds if you're approved or not to get money for your residential flip. Go to fundthatflip.com/best ever.
Best ever book you've read?
Meltdown by Thomas Woods.
Best ever personal growth experience, and what'd you learn from it?
We did have a deal fall through in Houston. So you got to learn persistence in this game. You can have the deal fall apart at any moment. Just move on to the next one.
Why'd it fall through?
The numbers weren't good enough, and the financing was a problem.
How far along were you into the deal?
Contract, and we had 2 or 3 months of due diligence.
When did you meet Jeff?
About a year and a half ago.
About a year and a half ago? Okay. Best ever project you're most excited about right now?
I am currently teaching some people how to underwrite properties, so hopefully this project pans out where we can do deals with them, they can get their first deal done, and we can all make money.
What's the best ever way you like to give back?
Teaching other people how to evaluate properties. That is a very good way to give back and spread the education around.
What would you say so far is the biggest mistake you've made in real estate?
Probably not knowing what field I wanted to get into when I first started. You had the shiny object syndrome where it's like, oh, wholesaling, flipping, all this other stuff. You just gotta pick one and stick to it. You gotta meet people in the field and see what perks you like about each field and just pick one and focus on that one.
And what's the best ever place for the listeners to reach you, Nick?
They can reach me at nickwest@live.com. First name's N-I-C-K, W-E-S-T at L-I-V-E.com. Or 805-813-0516.
Well, Nick, thanks so much for being on the show and talking about your experience, talking about how you quickly got into it, how you started with a real estate investing meetup group. You met someone like Jeff. Again, Best Ever Listeners, episode number 47. Go listen to his advice and hear his story. And you added value to their life. You learned from them how to do that. And in this case, it was underwriting deals. And now you're off and running and you've participated in a deal. You got $10,000 in your bank account. Well, I don't know if it's still in your bank account, but initially it was in your bank account. And you got equity ownership in the deal for underwriting it, for doing the due diligence, and for finding it. That is, and my gosh, you're a junior in college. Congratulations, my friend. And there are many, many big things in your future if you continue to take this type of approach. So thank you for sharing your inspirational story, your resourcefulness, and your drive on the show and with us today. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Joe.